join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Three Dimensions of Love by Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey.
And as I was just talking about that, about us being sons of God because he loves us like that and making us part of his family. When Jesus prayed the real Lord's Prayer in John 17, among the things that he says in John 17, verse 24, he says, "Father, I will that thou also, whom thou hast given me, that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." And then he says, "O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou sent me, and I declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them." Jesus said, "I'm praying, Father, that they experience the same love." God doesn't love us less than he loved Jesus.
No, he does not.
We are joined. That's why the Bible says, man, it's so good. We're joint heirs.
Yeah, we're joint heirs.
We're not sub heirs.
Joint heirs.
We're joint heirs. Now you need to understand that whole concept of being a joint heir, and particularly when the scripture is writing about that to people from the Jewish tradition. Come on, we know going all the way back to Esau and Jacob that the firstborn was more special. The firstborn had the blessing.
Right.
The firstborn had the birthright. Luke 15, the sons. He said, "Father, give me the younger said, give me that what falls to me." He knew that what falls to him wasn't the same as what goes to the older son.
Right.
Because the older got more.
Right.
Y'all listening to me here. Okay. But because God loves us so much, when we get saved, we now become joint heirs.
Yeah.
We get the same portion that Jesus gets.
That's so good. This is awesome, y'all.
He loves us like that. I mean, I want you to comprehend.
He wants us to receive that love and understand that you're not subpar or you less worthy of his love. And sometimes, depending on what you experienced in life, it could be a hard concept for you to wrap your brain around that God loves you just as much as he loved his son, Jesus. So much so that he made us joint heirs, my good, of his love. And we all can understand how much he loved Jesus. And we know that there was nothing he would hold back from Jesus or nothing he wouldn't do for his son. We understand that, but can we understand the same thing regarding us? That there is nothing God will hold back from you. There's nothing that can stop God from loving you.
Amen.
That God wants you to understand this and receive his love so you don't walk out your life with him feeling less worthy, having guilt, having shame or condemnation. You would never think of Jesus having any condemnation. You would never imagine Jesus walking his life living in shame. You said, no, that's God's son. There's no shame he has. Well, that's the same type of love that God has for you, that his love will surround you and deal with anything in your life that you feel is unworthy. His love covers it.
Amen.
And heals it.
That scripture from Romans 8, what I've been talking about here, it says, Romans 8, starting verse 15 through 17, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, mm-hmm. but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I got a daddy. Mm-hmm. We were illegitimate. But now God is our father mm-hmm. as much as he is Jesus' father.
Wow.
Okay, watch it. If he's as much as our father, as much as he was Jesus' father, uh-huh. I'm going a little deeper. Surely he's much as our father as he was the Jewish people's father.
Well,
they're God's special people. You're God's special people.
So are you.
We have received the spirit of adoption. Verse 16, the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Here we go. Verse 17. And if children, mm-hmm. then heirs. Then he says, heirs of God. But Paul says, I'm saying heirs, but it's a little deeper than that. No, you're heirs of God. No, it's a little deeper than that. I want you to understand. And joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
Jesus didn't get a bigger portion. We are joint heirs with Christ. Everything he has, we have, and we have a right to.
Wow. Yeah.
We have to receive it by faith.
Amen.
And if so, be that we suffer with him, mm-hmm. we may also be glorified together with him.
Wow, this has taken on such a different turn, a little bit of a turn here, because I believe there's somebody right now just wrestling with the concept that God loves you, wrestling with the concept that God sent his son for you. And before you can even go any further to receive this word, he wants you to receive his love for you, right where you are. He wants you to understand and open up your heart for his love to heal, to help, to strengthen you so you can have the capacity to begin to try to comprehend the love of God.
Amen.
Amen.
So we want you to receive the love of God. God, the first dimension, we're talking about that we love God, but we can't love God until you respond to his love.
Amen.
Loving God is responding to his love.
Yeah.
Loving God, first of all, is saying, thank you for loving me.
Mm.
Okay? So loving God is response to his love. We love him because he first loves us. God loves us. He gives us a spirit of adoption. He calls us sons of God. Now let's go a little bit deep here. So what does loving God, if we respond to the love of God, what does loving God look like? Okay. What does loving God look like? First of all, I think that loving God looks like putting him before personal pleasure. And when I was preparing this, I came across the scripture. I said, I never saw that like that. And that's based upon 2 Timothy 3 in verse 4. Bob said, knowing the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of themselves, unholy, unthankful, without natural affection. And then he says in 2 Timothy 3 and 4, there'll be traitors. That's people who aren't loyal.
Right.
Okay. They'll be heady, conceited. They'll be high-minded. Then it says lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Mm. Let's stop there for a moment.
Wow.
Do you love pleasure more than you love God? Are there things that you would easily do to satisfy yourself, to please yourself, but you think if God asked that of you is too much? So loving God means that I get to the point that I love God more than I love pleasure. Now, the root word of pleasure is what? Is please. So pleasure is something that pleases you. And so when we love God, we put him and what he desires of us, even over what pleases us. So to love God, I have to have a consciousness of what pleases him. Okay.
That's good, yeah.
I have to have without, so for example, scripture tells us what, that's Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it displeases God for me not to believe him. God's greatest pain is to be disbelieved. And God's greatest pleasure is to be believed. So when we exercise faith in Jesus, exercise faith in God, that's demonstrating our love towards God. We put pleasing him over pleasing ourselves. And the Bible tells us, I believe that's Philippians 2nd chapter, it says that let us not just do things to please us for vain glory or to please ourselves. And I think as Christians today, and it probably requires more of it in the midst of a pandemic where we're not having our regular in-person assembly services, that we're conscious, what are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our time? Are you living your life to please God, or are you living like your life to please yourself? You know, honey, we came along at a time that people were real clear about what was sin, what we weren't supposed to do, where you weren't supposed to go, and all that. And some people did that in works. Some people did that. Well, the church said I'm not supposed to do this, or my church don't allow me to do this, whether going to movies, wearing this, sleeping here, going there. But I believe that there is something to you making some choices voluntarily for yourself that says, I know this doesn't please God. I know me going to this club don't please God. I know me going to the strip club don't please God. I know me drinking this doesn't please God. And it may please yourself. But when we love God, we live beyond ourselves and pleasing ourselves, and we want to please him. Loving, to love God is to please him. You know, I can say, if I say to you, maybe, Marsh, you know I love you, but I don't care what you think. If we love God, we care what he thinks about us. You know, the Bible talks about Moses. The Bible says about Moses that Moses chose to suffer the afflictions with the righteous than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is pleasurable. Doing things that your flesh likes is pleasing to your flesh. But what can be pleasing to our flesh can be displeasing to God. What can be pleasing to our flesh can be displeasing to God. And so when we say we love God, now we say, I want to live my life to please the Father. There's a place where Jesus talks about the reciprocity of him pleasing the Father. And he says, my Father loves me, he says, because I do those things that please him. Let me find that scripture. Matthew. Let me give you, yeah, here we go. It's John. John 8:29 says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Come on, if we love God, you ought to want to please him and not merely please ourselves, which is the next scripture that comes up there. Regarding pleasing ourselves. Romans 15:3 says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So when we love God, we have to get to the place, it's not merely about me,
right,
and
right,
what I want, right, what satisfies my flesh.
Right.
And so to love God means love the Lord your God, because that's the first dimension. I love God. I respond to his love with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. I please him. I want to please him. Mm. When people love each other, they want to please each
right.
other.
Right.
Now, when people get offended with each other and they plan on walking out the marriage,
mm-hmm.
They say, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care what you think. I go where I want to go. I do what I want to do. I know you don't like me talking to them. I'll talk to them. I know you don't like me staying out that late. I'll stay. Well, because something's happening there in your love commitment. But when we love God, we want to please God. So what does loving God look like? How do we know you love God? You want to please him. Also, I believe loving God looks like honoring his word. Now, the word honor, you know, a lot of people think, I remember years ago, I talk about, I went someplace to preach, and it's common. You know, now some preachers charge to preach in particular amounts. I've never done that. I've been in ministry now for 40, 43, something like that. 40 plus years I've been in ministry, preached a lot of places, all types of crowds. I've never charged anybody an amount to preach. But, and so I remember going someplace, and they didn't give me an honorarium. Mm-hmm. Now, honorarium, in some service, they call a speaker's offering. You know, give you, and some people, they will just give you one, and sometimes they receive an offering for you. And I went there, we were blessing. I took a nice offering. We blessed that church, blessed that pastor. And they didn't give me, you know, an offering, an honorarium. So because the person was someone I knew, I said to the pastor, I said, you didn't give me an honorarium. She said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought when I introduced you, I said, give an honor to you. I didn't give honor to you. I'm sorry. No, giving honor, this honor is not merely with your mouth. As a matter of fact, there's a place in the scripture where God said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So to honor God is beyond what we say. Well, you know, I believe God's a really important part of my life. I really love the Lord. You can say that, but one of the ways that you show you honor the Lord, it means to make heavy, to make weighty. So if I honor God, he is heavy in my life. If I honor his word is heavy in my life. There are people who honor me and honor us as their pastor or their spiritual leader or whatever, who will say, well, you know, I'm going to get my pastor's opinion about that. And they will govern themselves or take our counsel as their pastor, maybe even over their friend. What they're saying is our word is weighty. They honor our word more than their friend or more than, you know, whomever. When we honor God, you honor his word. So imagine saying, I love God, but I don't care what God say. I don't care what. No, to honor God means to honor his word, which also means to live by his word. Look at 1 John 2 and verse 5. Then we're going to go down to verse 10. It says, whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, that we have real relationship with him. Verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, or where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. It says, if we keep his word, that's the evidence that God, we love God, and his love is being perfected in us. Amen. So to love God, respond to his love, I want to live by his word.
Amen.
I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to act the way he wants me to act. I want to respond the way he wants me to respond. And so all of us as Christians, remember, I start off saying God's not growing in his love towards us. But many of us, we need to grow in our love towards him. Okay? Because for some people, you know, just like they say, out of sight, out of mind. Okay? Are we out of church? God ain't on our mind. Some of us are doing things that we would not do if you were coming up here in church every week. Wow. That's a problem. Because really should not, I mean, this should enhance our lives, but come on now. Are we hypocrites? Are we living one way in the church and another way if we're not? Come on, if you love God, you love God whether you're in the church, whether you're on your job.
Right.
I mean, our love for God ought to be a daily thing that we demonstrate by letting his word be weighty in our lives. Okay? Let's go on. talking about responding to the love of God. God loves us, and we love him. We say we love him. That we want to have that vertical relationship. To love God. Also, what does loving God look like? Loving God looks like serving people. Loving God looks like serving people. The scripture I read earlier says, and not serving ourselves. Now, it's one thing to love yourself, and there's some people that will do anything for themselves. You know, we see people all the time. It's out, they love themselves. And y'all love yourself so much, y'all put pictures on Instagram of you staring in the mirror at yourself. Y'all put all these pictures, you take pictures of yourself and yourself. We love ourselves, and we primp, and we show, we love ourselves, and we're going to get to loving ourselves. There needs to be a balance with loving ourselves. But do you love other people?
Wow.
Because loving God looks like serving people. If I say I love God, then I have to be concerned about other people. Mm-hmm. See, my problem in recently in some of the political things is that people would want to make people out to be a Christian who demonstrate no love for people. Maybe demonstrate love for policies, okay? But demonstrating no love for people.
Yeah.
You know, to say things like people die.
Every day.
Every day. Mm-hmm. People die every day. Wow. And they, how can you say that in the same breath that you say I love people? No, something inconsistent. Right. If you love people, you're concerned about people dying. The Bible says that God loves us so much, he even loves the sinner. He reigns on the just and the unjust. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that he wishes that none perish, but all come into repentance. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, I mean, this is so good. If God only loved Christians, Jesus would have come back already.
He sure would have. Yeah.
Because he said he would have come back and we would all be raptured up. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of Christians in the earth. Mm-hmm. He just would have taken, but he loves sinners.
Right.
So he's giving sinners an opportunity to respond to his love. Mm-hmm. He wishes that none would perish. So loving God is also means loving people and serving people. John the 21st chapter, verse 15 through 17. You want to read that, Pastor Marcia?
So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto himself the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep.
Notice Jesus is getting on Peter's nerves because he's really making him thinking deeper.
Yeah.
I mean, what was Peter going to say? Peter, do you love me? Let me think about it. No, the response is, I've been with you for 3 years. Yeah. You healed my mother-in-law.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You gave me the biggest catch of fish ever. I've watched you. I have relations. Sure, I love you. You know, I mean, right away, for anyone to ask, anyone who professes to be a person of faith, do you love God? The response is, oh, sure, I love God.
Right, right.
And Jesus saying, don't give me a flippant answer here. Think deeper because that looks like something.
It looks like something.
You say you love God, that looks like something. That's not just verbiage.
Right.
It's not just words. He says, if you love me, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes. Feed my lamb. If you love me, now third time, Lord, you know I really, really love you. And wasn't this after? I believe this is after the resurrection, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
This is after the resurrection. This is after Peter had come back, been converted. this is after Peter, the last time somebody asked something three times.
Yeah,
that didn't go too good.
It didn't go too well. He started showing out.
Peter started cussing to convince them. And I heard someone say Peter before had denied Jesus three times. And to undo those words, Jesus now gives him an opportunity to undo the denial by solidifying three times his love for him. Okay, you got sometimes it takes time to undo all the negative things that we said. Okay, we said, well, I said this, I confess, but you've been saying that stuff for a long time. You got to take some time and put enough in on this side, on the right side of the equation, to undo all those negative things. And Jesus challenged, he said, Peter, if you really love me, I need you to do something for me.
Right.
And what I need you to do for me, be concerned about what I'm concerned about. Feed my sheep, my lamb, the church is what he was really telling him.
Isn't that something?
The ones who I'm dying for. I need you to feed them.
Right.
He's not talking about physical food there.
Right. So, you know, we've been doing ministry for a while. And so often, you know, we have heard people say, I can't stand people. Or I don't want to be bothered with anyone. Well, there's a love deficit there.
Yeah.
You know, because when we say we love God, we have to love what he loves. You know, and that is God loves people because he sent his son to die for all of the world. He didn't want anyone to perish. And so here we are now as believers who've received the love of God. Now we're having to challenge ourselves to step out of ourselves and to love who God loves.
Amen.
So it goes across racial, political, gender. It goes across all those lines. We can't say I love God and I hate this person.
You know, one of the things that the Bible says about Job, one of the reasons why God recommended Job to the devil, I always say, you don't have to recommend me, Lord. He said, have you thought about Job? He says, Job loves me.
The greatest commandment tells us to love God with everything we have and to love others as ourselves. In this teaching, Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marcia Bailey discuss love as it pertains to loving God, loving others, and loving ourselves. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or go to www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.